Raffles by E.W. Horner. A series of short stories dramatized for radio by Alwyn Weimark. With Jeremy Clyde as Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. An Old Flame.
Why are you going so fast, Bunny? Rattling me to bits.
Sorry, Raffles. We're late. I promised Dr. Theobald I'd have you back before dusk.
Confound the man. Let him stew. Confound this infernal woolen cap.
Oh, I shouldn't take that off, Raffles. Echo!
Well, why not? It's nearly dark. This blasted shawl. It's bad enough being wheeled about the streets in a bath chair without looking like a damn tea cosy.
Well, times have changed, eh, Jeff?
Thank you, Bunny.
Echo!
And for God's sake, stop that sneezing.
I can assure you I didn't catch this cold deliberately.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry to bite your head off, Bunny. I really am bored to extinction playing this part. In fact, I sometimes think extinction would be preferable.
Oh, don't say that, Raffles.
Oh, don't worry, old chap. I'm not going to do myself in.
On we went through the gathering twilight in our decidedly unromantic disguises. Frail old Mr. Maturin from Sydney, a very far cry from Raffles, the brilliant cricketer and secret cracksman, and I... No longer Manders, young man about town and willing accomplice, but Mr. Maturin's downtrodden attendant, Manchester.
Not far now. Pleasant square, this. I haven't been through it before.
Actually, mightn't be a bad hunting ground for us.
You're joking. So close to home.
Well, the old tea cosy and his faithful nurse would hardly come under suspicion.
Not forgetting that the nurse has a prison record. After all, I have no disguise.
I said you should have persevered with your moustache, old fellow.
The moustache was not a success, Raffles, as you know. I'm simply pointing out...
Absolutely right, Bunny. Your prudence does you credit.
Thank you.
Very tempting, those balconies. A leg up and you'd be there.
Quite. And in the full view of every occupant of the square.
Not if you were quick enough. Do you suppose the big house on the corner is vacant, Bunny? It's the only one in the square not lit up.
No, I don't think so. I can see curtains. There's a potted palm in the bay window.
Yes, so there is.
Probably the owners are away on holiday.
I expect they are.
Or perhaps just after it. Raffles!
Keep an eye on the rug, Bunny.
Where are you going?
Just to reconnoitre the ground.
It's madness.
It won't take a minute.
I was helpless. I watched him sprint across the road and go lightly up the steps of the corner house. In an instant, he'd caught hold of the balcony and swung himself up. 2 seconds to insert the blade of his penknife under the window catch, and he disappeared. It was a masterly display, and I was thanking God there was no other witness to it than myself when...
Evening, sir.
Oh, a good evening, Constable.
You look lost, sir. Can I help at all?
No. I mean, yes, thank you. I'm looking for the house where I'm to pick up an invalid. Number 68, actually.
You're standing in front of it, sir.
Ah. No, what they told me was that it was 10 houses beyond number 68.
That would be 78.
Exactly.
Just outside the square, that is, sir. Carry straight on and take the first left.
The first left. Excuse me.
Bless you, sir.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Come out now, Raffles. Please, come out. Great Scott, a light. Surely he'd never... There was somebody in the house after all.
Hardly breathing, I waited for the sound of a shout or a scream, a window to be thrown open, the constable summoned. Nothing.
Get this blasted contraption around the corner. He's bound to make a run for it. I mustn't be in full view to give him away.
I waited. 10 minutes. 15. What could have happened? He might have been attacked. Unconscious. I was in an agony of indecision.
Wait. Yes, I'll go and knock at the door. Say he's a harmless madman, and I'm his keeper. Never given me the slip before. I must...
Oh! Look out, Bunny. Where's the chair?
Round the corner.
Well done, my rabbit. Quickly, then. Give me that cap. And the shawl. Start pushing, Bunny. I may be following. Not so fast, not so fast. We mustn't excite attention. A nice, stately pace.
That's it.
What happened? Did somebody...
But not now. Just get us home and then I'll... Shh. Who was it?
It's all right. Only some woman.
Oh.
What's wrong? What is it?
Nothing. Home, 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 and not another word until we get there. Really, Bunny?
I shall hold you personally responsible, Manchester. Look at the time.
I'm sorry, Doctor.
We're back now, ma'am. Don't make such a fuss.
I've told you again and again, Manchester. There is typhoid about. The damp evening air is the worst.
Help!
And you and your damned cold doesn't help.
Will you just get me up the stairs?
Yes, of course, of course. Well, get on, Manchester. Go up ahead and open Mr. Maturin's door. Lean on me, Mr. Maturin. Oh, I think I shall have to forbid these little outings altogether at this rate.
Lock the door, Bunny. Where's the whiskey?
Under my bed. Oh. Now, Raffles, will you please explain?
The soda?
Behind the bath. What happened in that house?
By Waterloo, possibly. And get the glasses, will you, Bunny?
Here we are. Steady on, Edgy. I don't want that much.
I do.
Here, I'll pour mine. I've never seen you like this. You must tell me what's happened. Oh.
Jacques Sayard. Recognize the name?
He's a painter.
Wrong.
Ah, I thought I'd seen something in the Royal Academy.
You did.
Then he is a painter.
He's a woman. The woman who passed us in the street.
He was disguised as a woman. That seems very...
Not he, she. Jacques Sayard is her pseudonym.
Ah, right. And she was in the house?
She was, in her studio at the back. When she heard me moving about, she came straight up to the room and switched on the light.
Brave.
Not quite the word for this lady, Bunny. Indomitable, inexorable, relentless. Any of those might be closer. I don't mind telling you that I fear her more than any person on God's earth.
Oh, come now.
I assure you I'm serious. This is a woman, a very beautiful woman, who when she wants something, invariably gets it. She once wanted me.
An old flame?
Yeah, something like that. Years ago, but I broke with her, you see. I think she never forgave me. The expression on her face when she turned on the light and saw me. Not astonishment. Triumph.
Arthur! Good God! Is this your house?
My husband's. You're alive! I knew. Somewhere in my soul, I knew.
I simply stood there staring at her. I think I may say I'm not often at a loss, but I was struck quite dumb.
Oh, Arthur. Arthur, I've waited so long.
But you're married now.
He's of no importance. Oh, your face is so thin and your hair quite white. You've suffered, my darling.
Why didn't
you confide in me, Arthur? It was only from the newspapers that I learned about your double life. That is why you wanted us to part, wasn't it? To protect me.
No, it was...
Did you think I would be shocked? I am an artist. I'm not interested in laws or convention. I would have helped you, lied for you, protected you, died for you.
Yes, I'm sure you would, but it...
But really... what does all that matter now? You're alive. We're together again.
And then, the cat, or whatever it was, finally released my tongue. I took her by the hand and sat her down and spun her my yarn.
Which was?
That I'd sunk as low as you can dig, that Bill Sykes couldn't hold a farthing dip to my villainy, that I'd spent my nights in a thieves' kitchen in Seven Dials, adding hastily that I'd stolen this suit because my own rags were dropping off me, and I begged her to let me push on to the devil in my own way and have nothing to do with me again. I was very persuasive.
And she let you go?
But, just as I feared, decided to follow me.
To Seven Dials?
I devoutly hope so. I told her I was going back there.
Well, yes. Well, thank heavens you put her off the scent. The doctor?
He always knocks.
The Evening Post, then?
It's long past his time. Go and let her in, Bunny.
The moment I opened the door, she pushed past me into the room. She was very beautiful. Eyes blazing, she confronted him.
So, this is your thieves' kitchen, Arthur.
Maturin's the name.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you putting on that voice?
Not in front of the servant, please. Get out, Manchester, and shut the door behind you.
Right, sir.
It was at least 20 minutes before she came out. She was much subdued, and as she passed me in the hall, she touched my shoulder.
Take good care of him.
I saw no point in her knowing your real identity, Bunny. I managed to convince her that not only were you a genuine nurse, but that I was a genuine invalid.
Given to acrobatic housebreaking.
Oh, she was entirely sympathetic to that. And she approved my antipathy in disguise. She was only angry because I'd lied to her in the house.
You doubted me. You thought I couldn't keep your secret. Arthur, I am no ordinary woman.
No.
And didn't Shakespeare say of our friends that we must grapple them to our soul with hoops of steel?
Yes.
You think she'll be back?
I know she'll be back.
The very next day, and the next. In fact, for a week, not a day went by without the sound of that imperious ring on the bell. Raffles endured these intrusions with an air of humorous resignation. But he encouraged me to feed Dr. Theobald with reports of the lady's doubts concerning his professional abilities.
I'll get it.
No, Manchester, I will. I'm sorry, madam, no visitors today.
I am not a visitor, doctor. I am his dearest friend.
Be that as it may, madam, Mr. Maturin will be seeing no one for the next few days.
But...
I'm sorry to deprive you of the lady's company, Mr. Maturin, but you must have absolute peace and quiet.
Whatever you think best, Doctor.
And as for you, Manchester, don't think I'm not aware that you've been giving out details of my treatment.
But I assure
you're a troublemaker, Manchester, and a very inefficient nurse into the bargain.
Now, Doctor, the boy does his best.
His best is not good enough.
Nothing could convince him of my loyalty. I think he suspected I knew as well as he that there was nothing at all medically wrong with his patient. At any rate, he'd won us a respite from our tempestuous visitor. But then came the letters.
Now that I have found you again, I cannot bear to be separated. Oh, let me gather you to my bosom and fly with you to the south, to Morocco or Algiers, where I can tend you again. And it is my love, believe me, that can save you now.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She's radiantly confident that only she could nurse me back to life and love.
Dear me. Mightn't her husband object?
I can't think she'd let a trivial matter like that deter her.
Strong-willed, eh, Raffles?
Very strong, Bunny.
More letters, flowers, hothouse grapes. We were under siege. We dared not go out at all. There was always the chance she was keeping watch. Then one day, a totally unexpected blow fell.
I'm awfully sorry, my dear old fellow, but you'll have to go.
Go?
Go.
Go where?
It's that ass Theobald. He wants you out.
You mean go altogether?
Yes.
And you've given in to him? Raffles, are you actually asking me to leave?
Yes. I'm sorry, Bunny.
Not at all, AJ. Not at all. I'll pack my things at once.
No, wait. Bunny, I'm obliged to let Theobald have his way. Surely you can see that.
No, I can't say that I can.
He's the only one who can protect me from her.
You think I'm not capable?
You haven't the authority. And besides, he wants to get a trained nurse in.
A trained nurse?
Well, you see, Bunny, I am rather ill now.
And I had to face the fact that he was. Lately, he began to be seized by sudden fits of trembling. He was eating scarcely anything, and at night his sleep was feverish and disturbed.
Well, I must be thinking of somewhere to go.
What about Richmond, Roehampton, Ham Common?
Oh, I hadn't thought of going quite so far.
Take a cottage or some quiet rooms. A new burrow for us, my dear old rabbit.
A new burrow? You're going to join me?
As soon as I can.
I thought you meant to go and drop a fellow altogether.
Exactly the sort of thing you would think.
The familiar scorn in his voice was positively welcome after the misery of the past few minutes. I packed my belongings, as well as what Raffles referred to as the Belleville Boodle, which I was to dispose of through a reliable fence. I felt quite cheerful now.
I'll write to you post-restaurant, Richmond.
Excellent.
If you don't see me within 10 days, Bunny, you never will.
10 days? That's no time at all.
Oh, a lot may happen in 10 days.
His face was exhausted as he lay back on his pillows and closed his eyes.
I'm not going.
Oh, no, Bunny.
How can I leave you in this state, Raffles?
Think, Bunny. This state is my ticket of escape. I've got to be convincing. Because escape, one way or another, I must.
A last clasp of hands, and I was off.
So you were leaving us, Manchester?
Yes, thanks to you.
Oh, come, come. It's no pleasure to me to deprive a man of his billet. Take this.
Half a sovereign. I took it, imagining his face if he could see the small fortune in jewels I had in my kit bag. I turned to go, but once more a sudden misgiving made me turn back.
Is it serious? How ill is he?
Ill enough to need a nurse who can nurse for a change. Goodbye, Mr. Manchester.
At the Star and Garter in Richmond, I had a room worthy of a prince, while I scoured the region for the perfect place for us. After 3 days, I found it. A cottage on the borders of Ham Common, owned by a Mrs. Fisher, a motherly widow of visible excellence, who let some of her rooms and was a first-rate cook.
How long before your brother arrives, Mr. Manchester?
Only 3 or 4 days now.
You'll be pleased to see him again.
I will indeed, Mrs. Fisher.
Been abroad for some time, has he?
Yes, Australia.
Oh, not an escaped convict, I hope.
Would you take him in if he were?
Of course I would. What, your brother? I'd take him in if he was a Bolshevik. Now, about your supper, Mr. Manchester. I've got a nice bit of sirloin, and I thought buttered carrots. And how about a few parsley?
Sorry, Mr. Manchester. Still no letter for you.
You're quite sure?
Positive, sir.
It was the 10th day.
I'll come back again this evening.
If you don't see me within 10 days, you never will.
That day I visited our reliable fence and disposed of the Belleville jewels. We might well have need of ready cash. In the evening, I went back to the post office.
You mustn't worry so, Mr. Manchester. There'll be a letter from him this time. You see if there isn't.
There wasn't.
If there's nothing first thing tomorrow, I shall go straight to Earl's Court.
It was a wretched morning. A weeping mist shrouded the streets and houses. As I approached our house, I could just make out some kind of tradesman's van in front.
Dear God, it's a hearse.
I rushed in, and without knocking or ringing, pushed open Dr. Theobald's door. He was in black from head to heel.
Who's dead? For God's sake, who's dead?
Mr. Maturin.
I stared at him. The silence seemed deafening.
I should never have left him. What good could you have done? He died of typhoid.
I heard the sound of slow footsteps coming down the stairs into the hall outside.
That'll be the coffin.
I swayed on my feet. My head swam.
Sit down, Manchester. You need a stiff drink.
It was a very stiff one, and it cast a merciful haze over the next hour. The most painful single hour of my life. The next thing I knew, I was standing beside the open grave.
You loved him too, Manchester.
She was standing beside me, dressed in deep mourning. Through the veil, I could see her face was wet with tears. So was my own.
Oh, yes. I loved him.
Take these.
She handed me a spray of the great bunch of white roses she held. Together we let the blossoms fall like huge snowflakes onto the coffin as the gravediggers began to shovel in the earth.
I want you to come and visit me, Manchester. Often.
Oh, well...
We can talk of him. Remember him together.
Actually, I've been offered a post abroad.
When do you go?
I leave this evening.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Promise me you'll never forget him, Manchester. He was a kind of hero.
She took my hand and gazed deep into my eyes.
Goodbye, good and faithful servant.
She turned and made her way, an almost regal progress, to a waiting funereal broom, evidently hired for the occasion. For a moment, my grief was tempered with a feeling of relief that at least he had escaped this majestic predator. Then I felt a hand fall on my shoulder.
I'm sure you were planning to go abroad, Mr. Manders, but I have to inform you that it's too late for that.
I did not dare turn round.
Who are you?
Scotland Yard. We don't want to make a scene in the cemetery, do we? Just walk slowly towards that gate, if you would, sir. I'll follow. Got a cab waiting?
Across the road.
We'll take that to the station, then, if you've no objection, sir.
None.
My sensations at this moment may not be believed, but I solemnly declare that I have seldom experienced so fierce a satisfaction. Here was something to wrench me from my grief, and I would be spared the intolerable experience of a solitary return to our new little home at Ham Common. In the cab, I stared blindly ahead.
Mr. Maturin! Mr. Maturin, indeed!
What about him?
What, do you think we didn't know who he really was? We've known for weeks.
Of course.
Oh, we've had a watch on the premises since, naturally, and on your little hideaway, Mr. Manders. Just waiting our moment, as you might say. Pity it couldn't have come sooner. Then he wouldn't have escaped us again.
So it must have been my visit to the fence the day before that had given the police the evidence they needed. I thanked God I had delayed as long as I had.
You'll never capture him now. He's beyond you forever.
You might draw that conclusion, yes. In a manner of speaking, you could put it that way. For one...
Oh, for God's sake, can't you just keep quiet and leave me alone? Oh,
certainly, sir. By all means, as you wish, I'm sure.
We went on in silence. My mind drifted pointlessly about. Suddenly, a dreadful thought struck me.
You won't be digging up the body, will you?
Oh, without a doubt, sir. Impossible to avoid. Habeas corpus, as you might say. Oh, yes, he'll have to come up. Though what anyone will want with a set of old Encyclopedia Britannicas is beyond me, I will admit.
A set of... What are you talking about?
Just my little joke, sir. And here we are at the station.
Slowly, wearily, I climbed out of the cab.
This is Paddington.
That's right, Bunyan.
I thought we'd catch the local line to Richmond. Pay the man, will you, old chap? I haven't a penny. Bunny?
Once more, Raffles had turned my world upside down for me. When I had recovered from my astonished joy and we were safely on the train, I bombarded him with questions.
What persuaded him? £1,000 persuaded him.
I always knew he was a humbug.
Lucky for us he was. And of course he heartily detested the lady.
I can certainly understand that, Mr. Maturin. The grave's the only place you would be safe from that woman.
Thing is, Doctor, I've got a hunch she'll want to see the body with her own eyes. She might think you'd done away with me.
Which, of course, was precisely what she did think. Theobald didn't break the news to her till yesterday afternoon. Sent a note round saying my dying request was that she be the first to know. She came into the house like a tornado.
I can imagine.
I was lying in the open coffin on the bed, swathed in netting. Curious sensation, being in your own coffin. The nurse had arranged for it to be sent round early that morning.
So he did get a nurse?
His wife. Now, they did a very good job, Bunny, in every detail. I was pretty heavily drugged, you know. The good doctor was very daring. I was as near dead as a man needs to be.
He might have really killed you by mistake.
Yes, I suppose so. It didn't really seem to matter.
AJ.
Oh, Bunny, it was the first time in my life I'd ever felt completely trapped. At any rate, there I was, lying in state. I remember I felt very cold and strange, and their voices seemed to come from a long way off.
You killed him! You stupid, incompetent fool! I could have saved him!
Nobody could have saved him, madam. This strain of typhoid leaves no survivor.
No!
Not any closer, please. And I advise you to put on one of these surgical masks. There may still be a danger of infection.
Do you think I care about infection? Goodbye, my love. goodbye.
Richmond Station! Richmond!
That was probably the best bread and butter pudding I've ever eaten, Mrs. Fisher.
Oh, my goodness, you need fattening up, Mr. Ralph. Why, he looks like a Bolshevik, Mr. Manchester. He's that thin.
Bolshevik?
Though I have heard some of them are very fat. Well, I'll bring in the coffee, gentlemen.
And now, Sullivan. Would it seem very hackneyed if I said it was good to be alive, Bunny?
Oh, A.J. Were you ever really ill?
No, not for a moment. All art, all illusion, old chap. And all frightfully hard work. Starving myself, going without whiskey and Sullivan's.
But why? Theobald knew you were shamming.
Oh, but Bunny, you were the one who had to be convinced.
So I could go through that agony?
Oh, believe me, old chap, it was essential. Could you have possibly hidden the truth from that woman?
Well, of course I could.
At the funeral? When you and she were strewing my coffin with roses, holding hands, gazing tearfully into each other's eyes?
I could feel myself blushing with chagrin. Raffles smiled at me with great affection.
You see, my dear old rabbit, I am a very good actor. Dr. Theobald is a moderately good one, and you are a very, very bad one.
Oh, thanks very much.
Not at all, Bunny, not at all.
In An Old Flame by E.W. Hornung, dramatised for radio by Alwyn Weimark, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochran, Bunny Manders. Edna Bronn played Jacques Sayar, Gordon Reed, Dr. Theobald, John Hartley, Mr. Maturin, Gudrun Ewer, Mrs. Fisher, Matthew Morgan, the clerk, John Church, the vicar, and Peter Penry Jones, the detective. The Raffles theme music was composed by Jim Parker, the sound balance was by Keith Perrin, and the production was by Gordon House.